Praise the Lord. If you would like to support the ministry here, you can send your gifts, your tithes, your offerings to Pastor John, care of Post Office Box 67, Chicora, Pennsylvania, C-H-I-C-O-R-A, Pennsylvania, 16025. And you can also find a link for giving on the sjrchurch.org website or the sermon audio website when you pull up sermons by John Pistorius. And we trust that Almighty God will richly bless you in your giving. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're moving right along. So, you good there, Jim? Okay. And I forgot my water, Bobby. You're right. I sat it on the counter out there. He's an observant one, isn't he? He is sharp. So he left to get water. He's gone for half an hour. Come back without water. Oh, Bob. He's a man. He's a good helper, I'll tell you, this guy. Yeah, he helps. Praise the Lord. Now, y'all heard me talking to the children about the so-called ice bucket challenge, right? Where people get a bucket of ice water and they pour it on themselves or somebody else pours it on them. And they do this for Lou Gehrig's disease. It's also called ALS. It started in 2014. After you're nominated, you have 24 hours to pour a bucket of water on your head or you have to donate $100 to this nonprofit for ALS. If you accept the challenge, you have to post a video of yourself. So I thought, what better way to illustrate baptism than to have a bucket of water and pour it on my... But I thought, nah, that probably wouldn't be a good idea, you know, to do that in the pulpit, you know. So I picked up the... I don't have any water in the bucket. All right. But I chose that as an illustration because it really demonstrates the idea of baptism. Because the definition of the Greek word baptizo, this is for baptizing, baptizo, is it means to dip repeatedly, to immerse or to submerge, and it speaks of vessels being sunk. Okay, that's what it speaks. That's what the word is designed to describe. Something being sunk, completely overwhelmed with water. And it also means to cleanse by dipping or submerging, to wash, to make clean with water, to wash oneself, to bathe. And it most definitely means to overwhelm. And it's a verb. It's an action word. It's not a passive thing. It is an action. You're being overwhelmed with water. Okay? And this is why it's used for baptism. This is why it was used for John's baptism when he was in the wilderness and he was baptizing. Now, I want us to open our Bibles to the 28th chapter of Matthew. You'll find that on page 1543 in the Bible there in your seat. Matthew chapter 28. It's the very last part of Matthew's gospel record. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And you'll find Matthew 28 on page 1543. Yeah. I should just look at the page numbers. I'd get there faster. 1543. That or I'd mark it in advance. That would be helpful, huh? 1543. That helps you. If I'm hunting it, that helps you to, you see, even the pastor has trouble getting the pages to flip. All right? Don't feel embarrassed if that happens. Page 1543. And it's at the bottom right of the page there. We're going to begin at verse 18. And we're going to read through the end of the chapter. And these are the final words, as recorded by Matthew, the final words of Christ our Lord. And then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Pray that God would add His blessing to the reading and hearing of His Word. Now, when He's talking to His disciples, now, to me, I look at this and I say, well, this would be a good thing to say at the beginning of His ministry. All authority's been given to me, so hear what I have to say. Okay? But He waited to the end. So He gives this message. You know, He had come up from the grave. If you read just before the part that we read, He came out of the grave, He was resurrected, and some bowed before Him. It says they worshiped. They bowed before Him, which is what the word means, bowing down. And others doubted, it says. So some believed, and others doubted. Some thought, yeah, this is really Him. Others said, nah, I'm not so sure. But then He goes, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said all, not some, not most, not a bunch, all. And He means all. All authority was given to Him on earth and in heaven. And now, when He received that authority, He became the delegate. Because Almighty God had delegated all authority to the one that we call Jesus, and then He further delegated it to His disciples. And we'll see that as we go on. He received all authority and power over everything on earth. He received all power and authority to preach and teach. He received all power and authority over Satan and his minions. All. He didn't say some. He commanded evil spirits and they had to obey Him. He commanded them and they had to obey Him. And He delegated that authority to His disciples. And so often today we're afraid of using that delegated authority. We don't want people to think we're crazy. After all, we're casting out demons. You know, demons? Who believes in demons anymore, right? Well, the demons believe in Almighty God. The demons believe in Christ our Lord, and they tremble, the Scripture says. He received power and authority over death and the grave, and He proved that. He showed that. He revealed the power that He had by what He did. He returned from the grave. He returned from being brutally murdered. He rose from that grave. And He showed Himself to His disciples. Now again, some believed, some didn't. And there's lots of people today that do not believe that that happened, that it took place, and there's those that deny it. And yet we have witnesses that are explained in the accounts, what we call the Gospels, the Gospel records or the Gospel accounts. What we see is that there were hundreds of people who witnessed His resurrection, who saw Him alive after they saw Him dead. We know that it's a real thing. Ultimately, He had all authority to command His followers to teach others what He had instructed. He had all power and authority to tell His disciples to go out there and make other disciples. Take what I've taught you and teach others. This is what He's saying. He said they're to observe all things that He had commanded them. And this was His delegation of power. He delegated His power to His disciples. And then He told them, go out and delegate it further. Go out and give it to other people. So then they can go out and give it to others. Teach them all that I have commanded you. Everything. Not just some of it, not just most of it, all of it. And this is what yours truly is attempting to do in all of the sermons that we give here. All of the messages that we share from God's Word. We want to know what He taught. We want to know what He said. We want to know what He commanded. We want to know what He instructed. Because if we don't know that, how can we teach it to others? Religion had it wrong. Almighty God endowed Him with the authority to create a penetrating force of teaching to override what the religious leaders at that time understood. What they believed, what they taught, what they shared. And the same is true today. We've come now some 2,000 years later, and we've got such a mismatched batch of religion that so many have lost the teachings of Christ Himself. And I have personally heard people speaking in the name of Christ against what He taught. And that, quite honestly, upsets me. And so whenever I preach or I teach, I want to First, I lay hold of what He said, and how does everything else filter through that? Because if I understand what he said, then I'm not going to get it wrong. Because he said, go out and teach them what I said. Go out and teach them what I commanded. Teach them to observe everything that I commanded. He said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He will? He will. That's what he said. He didn't say might. Didn't say could. Didn't say should. Said will. Will keep my word. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our home with him. And I repeat this throughout every sermon in this series of messages. This is the 15th sermon on the teachings of Christ. This time around. I've done this before. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So when you're out there and your car breaks down or you get a bad diagnosis from the doctor, he's with you. If in fact you're his, he is with you. And you can say, okay, now what are we going to do with this one, Lord? How are you going to fix this one up? How's this going to work out? Is this my time? If I get a diagnosis, I say, well, Lord, is this my time? Take me home. That's not something we like to think of because we think more highly of ourselves usually than we think of his will. And that's human. And that's something we have to subdue. We have to put down. And he said also, and this is something that we don't like to hear, but he said it, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Do you see the authority structure there? All authority was delegated. Okay? Almighty God delegated all authority to this one we call Jesus. And when he delegated that authority, he said, now here, I want you to take that out and I want you to further delegate it. Because we've all become ambassadors. We are ambassadors. And what is an ambassador but a delegate? We're a delegate from another kingdom. We are taking the teachings of our King to the world. At least that part where we live. And that's what we're told to do. We're told to go out and share it with them. We're told to go out and baptize them. Oh, but there are those who say, no, we're not going to do that. No, we say no to Jesus on that one. But he wants to have a right relationship with each and every one of his created beings. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and he sets the parameters for that relationship. Is that wrong? Is it wrong for him to decide, well, this is how I want to have that relationship since he created us? I don't believe it's wrong. It's his right. He's the sovereign one. He's the one that stands sovereignly over all of us. And he says, here's how I want you to live. When we step outside of those boundaries, we're stepping off of his path. We're not following him. We're not walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Even though we sing it in the church. He wants us to spread the news that he had delivered. Almighty God endowed him with the authority to penetrate this world, to break through the barriers that are presented here in this world by everything, including religion. He says, we'll keep his words. He commanded his disciples at that time to teach all nations. Does that mean we go out and we talk to the president of the nation or the king of the nation? It might, if he gives you that opportunity. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that he commanded, not what some human teacher commanded. Unless that human teacher was commanding what he commanded. And very often we're finding now, as we've come some 2,000 years after Christ, we're finding that there are human teachers that are teaching things that are contrary to Christ. He told the ones closest to him and to go. And what else? Preach the good news. We talked about that last week. Teach all nations. Make disciples. It's the process of teaching others to follow his teachings. And they who were with him for the 3.5 years or so of his ministry, they knew what he taught. They knew everything he taught because they were there. Now, we don't know everything he taught. And John tells us in his gospel, if everything that he said and did was written down, the books of the world wouldn't hold it all. We don't know everything. But what we have is contained in what we call the Holy Bible. And that's why we need to read it for ourselves, folks. We need to read what he said. We need to read what he did. We need to study it. We need to comprehend that he is the one. He's the Savior. Not me. I'm simply a messenger. I'm like the mailman. And I tell you that all the time. I'll give you the letter. I'll give you the mail. You can do whatever you want with it. But I have to give it to you. That's my role. That's my job. And I don't mean a job like in the earthly sense. I mean in a spiritual sense. He has sent me to deliver the message to you. Teach all nations. Make disciples. Follow His teachings. We have to learn His commands to help others do the same. We have to learn what He taught. We have to learn for ourselves what it was that He's instructing His followers to do. If we don't know what He taught, we can't tell others what He taught. And we could be swayed by every wind of doctrine that comes along from human teachers. And that's part of what's happened with much of the church today. And it's a sad reality, folks. It's not something that I want. I pray for Almighty God to bring a revelation to His remnant that are in every one of these buildings that we call church buildings. That His people would realize it's His teachings that we need to be following in this time. This is what we're doing here. Teaching everybody that we can the Word of God. From the start, part of what was known as the Great Commission was baptizing those who believe. And as I said earlier, there are those who say, no, we don't need to do that. But you look at what's written there, okay? You look at what's written there. Baptizing the new converts is sandwiched between what? It's sandwiched between two words. All right? He says, baptizing. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Therefore, go and make disciples. Teach them. Teach all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them. Teach them. Baptize. Teach them. It's like a sandwich. Teaching is the bread. The meat is the baptism. In this example, He's showing us the importance of it. It's something that is important to Him because He's instructing His followers to do it. And there are many today who say, no, we don't need that. We don't need that. When we read in Mark's gospel, Mark is preaching repentance. When we read the words of Christ, He preached repentance. When we read the words of Paul, Paul preached repentance. And he tells us that he preached repentance. And yet there are those today who say, we don't need to repent. We don't need to talk about that. But Jesus thought it was important enough to sandwich baptism in between teaching and teaching. I think it's pretty important to Him. And what did He preach and teach? Repentance. And so if I'm teaching someone, I got to teach them repentance. And if I'm teaching someone after they're baptized, teach them, turn to God, baptize them, teach them to follow Christ. Think about that. He put it in a progression. You're making a disciple by teaching them what He taught. He commanded, baptize them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is part of the proclamation of the good news. God washes away your sins. It's not the act of baptism that washes away your sins. It's your identification with Christ that washes away your sins. We're buried under the water in the likeness of His death. Think about that. When you're under that water, everything is gone. Everything is gone. Spiritually, you're going under the water. It's as if you yourself have died to the world and everything that's outside of the water. You're being baptized in the name of the Father. You're being baptized. You're being submerged into the name of the Father. You're being submerged into the name of the Son. You're being submerged into the name of the Holy Spirit. You're raised out of that water. You're raised just as He was raised from the grave. And there are those who say, well, Jesus got baptized. Why did He get baptized? He wasn't sinful. We'll get to that. It's a part of the proclamation of the good news. It was obedience. This physical act of obedience reveals our identification with Him. It shows everybody, because we have witnesses. We always have witnesses to a baptism. They're not done privately. There's always somebody there. And the physical act of obedience shows how we are completely surrendering to Almighty God. We're dying to sin. We're dying to self. We're dying to the enemy of souls. We're dying to the world. The world doesn't have a hold on us. We're giving it up. We're walking away. We're being buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. You must be born again. This is what He said. These are His teachings. You must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, you must be born again. There's no new life if there isn't a death. The old self has to die. The new self raises into new life. And He does the work spiritually. You're simply identifying with Him. You're simply allowing Him to do that work. You're surrendering your will to His. You're surrendering your life to Him. You're surrendering everything that you thought was right to what He says is right. And we have to learn to help others to do the same. But you know, it's not just a physical act. Peter said, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's a spiritual element to baptism. There's a spiritual element. Now, does everybody who gets baptized, do they also automatically receive the Holy Ghost? No, it doesn't say that. And do you have to get baptized before you receive the Holy Ghost? Well, no, there's a passage in Acts that says these people had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they hadn't yet been physically baptized. They hadn't been put under the water. And so the teaching was, well, if these have received the Holy Ghost, is there anything that keeps them from being baptized as the rest of us have been? In other words, going into the water? No. So one doesn't precede the other necessarily. But again, in today's world, there's many that teach no need to repent. No need for baptism. I've had people challenge me on that. What are we talking about sin for? Jesus took away sin. Because He said so. He said, preach repentance. Go out there and preach repentance. This is what He taught His disciples to do. But there are those who say no to Jesus. And they teach others to do the same. They're like the Pharisees of old. Baptism reveals our obedience to the glad tidings of the kingdom of God that is soon to be set up. Now, soon in God's economy, soon is any amount of time at all, because one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. And it says in another place that a day is as a watch in the night, or 1,000 years is a watch in the night. In other words, it's just a whisper. To God, there is no time. And when He calls us to Himself, you say, were you obedient? No, He's not going to ask you. He's going to tell you. Because there are those who will stand before Him and He'll say, no, I don't know you. And they'll say, well, wait a minute, we did this and we did that all in your name. And He says, no, I don't know you. He wants obedience. And today we're teaching anything but obedience to Christ. We're teaching anything but obedience to God. Except there are some, such as yours truly, who will teach obedience to Almighty God. Because that's what He wants. That's what puts us in a right relationship with Him. And it's hard sometimes, folks, but you must rely on the Spirit who dwells within you to enable you, to empower you, to overcome all temptation. He says, resist the devil and he will flee. Do you think that He's joking about that? Do you think that He's kidding? Do you think He's not serious? Do you think that that doesn't happen all the time? He says so. I believe it. All we have to do is accept what His Word says. In baptism, we identify with Jesus, the Messiah, the founder of this kingdom that's being preached. And it's a way that we declare His death on the cross to buy the souls that Almighty God sent Him to buy. It's a way that He purchased everlasting life for God's creation. In baptism, we state publicly His resurrection. We're saying He died and He was raised. And we are personally entering into that water in the same state of mind. I'm dying to myself. I'm dying to sin. I'm dying to the world. I'm stepping out of the world and I'm getting into that spiritual kingdom. And that's the picture of it. In baptism, we say He was exalted to the right hand of God in heaven, as it's written in the Scripture. Because that is what's written. It's a way that we affirm our belief that He will return in majesty to complete the kingdom of God. And we don't think about all of this whenever we're stepping into the water, if we're not taught. This is why I instruct people. Look, if you want to be baptized, I've had people ask me. I've had people come to me, Pastor John, I'd like to be baptized. Now, there's a lot of people who are a part of this congregation who were not in this building. Some of them are never in this building. And some of them have come to me and said, Pastor John, I want to be baptized. I said, well, you need to be instructed. You need to understand what you're doing. Okay? And I fully believe, as we look at the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip instructed him before he went into the water. He told him what this was about. And so I think it's important that we instruct people, at least minimally. There are some places that have week-long classes for people before they get baptized. Well, I don't see that in the Scripture, so I'm not going that far. But I'm going to tell you what it means. I'm going to tell you what it's about. I'm going to tell you why we do it. We were instructed to do it. This is why we do it. Now, if somebody comes to know the Lord, if they are truly converted, and I see that they have, in fact, accepted Christ as their Lord, I can take them and put them in. If there's water, I'll put them in the water. Right there on the spot. But when we're talking about people that maybe I don't know them so well, and they come to me and say, hey, I'd like to be baptized. I say, well, you need to be instructed. You need to know what it's all about. I'm not just going to, and I can't do it privately. Don't ask me to come to your house and baptize you, okay? Unless you're an invalid. Unless you can't get out. But, you know, I'm not like a personal pastor. I'm the pastor of the congregation. And so I can't do it individually. We're going to have a group baptism. We're going to have a group baptism. Now that means one person. But all of you, if you wish to be, can be witnesses. In baptism, we announce the glad tidings of salvation. We affirm our belief that He'll return. We proclaim the grace of God clearly seen in the Messiah. It's clearly visible and it's pledged. Almighty God pledged. He said, I'm going to send you the one who will make it all right. And He sent them. And they killed them. And God used that to His own glory to buy the souls that Satan had captured. He ransomed those lost souls. He redeemed them. You think about redeeming something, okay? This is what Christ did in His act on the cross. He redeemed the souls that were lost. Baptism is a spiritual act of uniting into the body of Christ. Not just a physical act of going under the water. It's a spiritual act. We are identifying with Christ and we're spiritually saying, I am now a part of this body. I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to Satan. I am dead to everything but Christ. And too often, we want to take a baby and sprinkle some water on their head and say, hey, they're baptized. Not biblical. It's not what's shown in the Bible. We see believers being baptized. Now, can we dedicate our children? Absolutely. And I do that anytime anybody asks me, would you baptize my baby? I'll explain to them. That's not the biblical position, but I will dedicate your child. And we'll use water in that process. In fact, this young man, the baby runs around here. What's his name? Jonah. Jonah. When Jim asked me if I would, we did it right in Slippery Rock Creek. I sat in the water with him and I poured water on him. And he looked at me. He had such loving eyes. He just looked up at me like, what are you doing? He didn't understand. He didn't know. But we're dedicating him to Almighty God and to His service. It's a step of obedience. We're uniting to the body of Christ. We are obeying the command of our Savior. He said to do it and we're simply obeying Him. He plainly proved His role as Messiah through His words and His actions and His death and His burial and His resurrection. And we pronounce that when we do it. When we don't have to physically die, although there are many all over the world that are dying for their faith in Christ. But He's not calling us to do that necessarily, at least not right now. There may come a time when we're going to be called to decide who do we serve. And by identifying with Him in the act of baptism, we openly make known our belief that He is the Messiah that Almighty God promised. We're openly doing it. It's not just one of these private things. Bow your head, raise your hand. Okay, I see you, brother. No. We're doing it openly. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We're not ashamed to say, I give up my sin. walk away from it. We bury it in baptism. We accept His sayings. We accept His teachings. We accept His instructions and His commands. Say yes to Him, not no. If you haven't been baptized as an adult, as a believer, I would suggest that you consider stepping into the water of baptism. I'm not going to command it for you. He said to go out and tell him to do it. He said to do it. I'm just giving you what He said. He said, proclaim this good news to everyone. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the words of our Lord. That's not my words. I'm not telling you that because I want you to feel bad. I'm telling you because He said it. Remember, believing means you're driven by that inner and higher law that resides within your soul. Almighty God planted that within you. And when you obey Him, you are stepping up to that level of obedience. He said, do it, you do it. Simple. You're driven by that law of your soul. You come under conviction for sinning. There's too many to excuse sin today. Well, I'm not as bad as her. I'm not as bad as him. I'm not as bad as them. Oh, that bunch over there. No. We don't excuse our sin. We accept, yes, we have sinned. We've fallen short of the glory of God. And we're not saved by our own righteous works. We're saved by the work of Christ. He's the Messiah. We simply trust in Almighty God and accept that He's able to help us obtain what He offers. And in that, we exhibit saving faith. That's what saving faith is. So I can't do it myself. He has to do the work. I simply submit to Him. I surrender to Him. I yield to Him. I acquiesce to His will. I'm not going to do it my way. I'm going to do it His way. So I have faith. And that faith is revealed in obedience to the one that He authorized to teach us His way of salvation. Obedience to Him. He said, do it. We do it. We're not going to question it. We're not going to throw it into a theological debate. We're going to say, He said, do it. We're going to do it. Simple. Simple. We're following Him. But, you know, if I'm following that guy that came 500 years ago, whoever he was, he might have said, nah, we don't need to do that. Or he might have said, nah, just sprinkle them with some water. They'll be all right. That's not what he said. It's not what Christ said. He said, put them under the water. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put them under the water. I remember when we had the Moraine Park Summer Festival down there in Moraine Park in 2008. There were some young boys that came up to me. I was baptizing in the lake there. Now, they told me we weren't allowed to do that kind of stuff there because it wasn't about that. And I said, well, if somebody needs to be baptized, I'm going to baptize them. I don't care what you say. The hierarchy of the organization that we were working under. And so there were some people that came to me and said they wanted to be baptized. And they thought this would be a great time to be baptized. And could I baptize them in Moraine, right there in the lake? I said, well, usually I like running water, because it gives that symbol of washing the sins away. If the water's laying stagnant, you know, it doesn't give that same image. And it's not that there's a problem with that. So I did. And as I was baptizing these people, there were some boys that were on the shore, and they came and they said, we've never been baptized. Can you baptize us? And I said, well, can you tell me who Jesus is? Well, He's the Lord. Can you tell me what He's done? Well, He died for our sins. And I went through the gospel with them, and they admitted everything that they needed to know in order to be believers. And I said, okay, we'll step into the water. So I took them into the water, and I baptized them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting to me when I think about that. I wonder where those boys are now, 11 years later. Haven't heard from them. Of course, that was all the way out there, and they might have lived in Portersville or somewhere. I don't know where. But I trust that God had His hand on them that day, because nobody compelled them to do it. Nobody demanded that they do it. I was just simply teaching it there on the shores of the lake. And I put those boys under the water just like everybody else that came to me that day. And they all believed. They exhibited their saving faith. They obeyed the one that Almighty God taught to teach His way of salvation. True believers accept the fact that Almighty God has the right of governing His created beings. Do you believe that Almighty God has the right to govern you? Do you believe that you fall under His governance? Is He the highest authority in your life? Or are you? Or is the world? Or is sin? Or is anything else that becomes idolatry? Doesn't matter what it is. Either we're going to accept His teaching, we're going to do it His way, or He's not our master. He's not our chief in command. If you want to obtain what He offers, you have to exhibit saving faith. True believers accept that God's the governor. True believers don't just agree with His teaching. It's easy to agree. Oh yeah, I agree. Yeah, yeah, He's the boss. He's the head. Yep, He's the top dog. Right? I've heard people use those phrases. He's the man upstairs. That's another one I get. True believers don't just agree, they live it. They live what He taught. He said, you will obey My commandments. If you love Me, you will. The difference between true believing and mental assent, we can agree with our mind. The difference is who governs your life. Are you governing your life or is He? Is sin governing? Are you being dominated by sin? Are you overwhelmed with sin? Or are you overwhelmed with Christ? In every aspect of your life, each of us obeys our master. Doesn't matter what the master is. We obey our master. Some obey Christ who leads to life, and others obey everything else that doesn't. Some obey the flesh. You see that in many ways. And others find that Christ takes them out of that domination. The flesh doesn't dominate anymore. Those who refuse to obey Christ govern themselves. Govern themselves? Does your car drive itself? No. If you're the vehicle of the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit who operates you. It's the Holy Spirit who drives you, who moves you, who motivates you. The Holy Spirit is the engine. He's the power. He's the strength. He gives you everything that you need, and you simply must. Because He's the driver, go where He leads. You will obey His commands. But those who refuse, they govern themselves. And this exposes their condition. I have had people come in here and they tell me they're all sold out for God. They're all sold out for Christ. And they're living like hell all day, every day. I said, wait a minute. Who's governing your life? Not Him. Because when He's governing your life, you don't live that way. You can't have it both ways. You can't have one foot in the world and one foot in His kingdom. We've covered that in another message. The Lord says they'll be damned. Nobody can serve two masters, for either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and flesh. You can't serve God and Satan. You can't serve God and anything else. There has to be a dividing line. I remember whenever I stepped into the water of baptism, you know, I was raised in a denominational church that baptized their babies. I was baptized as a baby. And I thought, well, you know, I was baptized. When I came to walk with the Lord, I started preaching. There were some people that preached on baptism. I said, well, I've been baptized. He said, okay, they didn't know. And later, years later, I met a minister. He said, John, you've been running from God. And I said, no, I was, but I denied it. He says, you need to be baptized. I said, okay. I was baptized as a baby, and he explained believer's baptism. This is when a believer steps into the water of baptism on their own accord. They decide to take that walk, to be buried in the likeness of His death and raised in the likeness of His resurrection. And so I stepped into the water. When He put me under that water, it felt like He was holding me down. You know, there was a preacher one time, he said that he was baptizing, and there was a guy that was inebriated, came, and he put him under the water, he pulled him up, he said, did you find Jesus? And the guy said no, so he put him back down under the water. He held him down there for a while and brought him up. Did you find Jesus? The guy says, no, are you sure He's down there? And I felt like this guy was holding me down. And as he started to raise me up, I felt like I wasn't coming up. I felt like I was staying in the water. And it was almost as if I was watching this body go up. And then somehow I snapped back. There was an actual spiritual death that took place. All of that stuff from the flesh, all of that sin that I had lived between the time that God called me and that time, it was as if it was whisked away. And I can't explain that to anybody. I can't give you scripture passages. Well, there's a couple I could probably use for that. But that was my own personal experience. I felt at that moment there was something ripped away from me. Whether or not that'll happen to you, I don't know. Nobody's ever explained it to me that that's happened to them. But that's what happened to me. That's my own experience. I can't serve God and I can't serve mammon. I can't serve God and anything else. In 1 John chapter 2, it's written, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,'" I know Him. Oh yeah, I know Him. "And does not keep His commandments is a liar." He doesn't know Him. He says He knows Him, but He doesn't know Him. He says the truth is not in Him. That's what's written in God's Word. And I take God's Word as it's written. He says that. I say, okay, well, I didn't really know Him because I wasn't keeping His commandments. I thought I knew Him. I'd tell people I knew Him. Remember, it's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you?" Oh, but he says, unless. Unless? Yeah, he says, unless indeed you are disqualified. Unless. Well, that'll make me uneasy. Unless. Unless I'm disqualified? What's that mean? That's Paul. This is Paul that was preaching and teaching grace. He says, unless you're disqualified, he's saying, don't you know Christ is in you? Unless he's not. You might say you know him, but he's not really in you. This is what Paul's saying. It's written, if you love him, you'll obey his commandments. He commanded baptizing new believers. So that's what we do. He commanded baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And so that's how we baptize. The Greek word for baptized, that baptized English word, baptized, is baptizo. And it occurs 80 times in the New Testament. It means to make whelmed, fully wet. And it's only used in the New Testament of ceremonial ablution, ceremonial cleaning. And especially, technically, of the ordinance of Christian baptism. It's also translated Baptist, it's translated baptize, and it's translated wash. And we sing a hymn, "Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Lord, wash me and I will be whiter than snow." Who wouldn't want Christ to wash away their sin? We're suffering. The world is suffering. Wouldn't we want to take that to them? Wouldn't we want to deliver this? I do. I hope that each of you will. And you know that word, baptizo, is the word that was used to describe that dunking that John was doing in the River Jordan. John, the one we call the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. He was dunking people under the water. He was fully whelming them. It's a word that's used whenever Jesus stepped into that water. When John took Jesus and put him under, John says, "Oh, no, 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 I need to be baptized of you." And Jesus said, "No, no, let it be so." Because it's fulfilling what is written. He said, when he was baptized, he went straight away out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." His baptism pleased the Father. He was sinless. So we're not talking about going into the water because you want to wash away your sin, although I believe from my own experience that that can happen. But he stepped into the water, In obedience to the Father. And this pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. It pleased the Father that he was baptized, even though he was sinless. He said, go. He said, proclaim the good news. He submitted to the water of baptism, so therefore, why would we not? Because somebody said we were baptized before we knew what was going on in our lives? Because somebody told us we were baptized? Because we have some certificate of paper from some religious organization that says we were baptized? You didn't know anything about it. You didn't make a choice to do that. If it happened at all. Jesus told John it was fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. It was fitting. Why? Because it's obedience to the Father. This is what the Father wanted. In other words, he's saying this is the proper way to do what God requires. Allow yourself to surrender in this act of obedience and see if God doesn't change you. See if he doesn't do something for you. Almighty God was pleased with his obedience and he was sinless. You think God won't be pleased with your obedience? I remember whenever Hagen and Bonnie stepped into the water. I don't know, we had 5 or 6 people that day? 7 people maybe? I don't remember. Maybe 10. 2013, I think it was. And we went to the creek. That water was cold, wasn't it, Bonnie? That water was cold. Woo! Stepped in there and said, whoa, Lord! That water's cold. But God said, do it. So we did it. Jesus was beginning his ministry as the Messiah. So it was fitting for him to be baptized. And why do you say that, Pastor John? Because he died to his life before the ministry. All of that life. Do you think if it was important to his ministry that we wouldn't have some writing on it? What do we have? He was in the temple when he was 12 years old and he was teaching. He was preaching. But we don't hear all that stuff from the time he was a baby. We learn about him when he was a baby. We learn about him when he was 12 years old. But not again until he was 33 years old or so. 30 years old or so. To refuse to have been baptized would have been disobedience to Almighty God. And that would have been sin. And he was without sin. How could he be the spotless lamb that would take away the sin of the world if, in fact, he disobeyed the Father? He wouldn't have been. He was raised to the new life of preaching, teaching, healing, and delivering souls. He was raised out of that water. The Holy Spirit lighted upon him. And he went about his ministry. He submitted to baptism in obedience to God's will. It's written in John chapter 6 in verse 29. I'll be wrapping it up soon, folks. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. And so I say, choose this day whom you will serve. Do you really believe that He's the one that God sent? And so then obey Him. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. He stepped into the water of baptism. Will you follow Him there? He said, go and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Will you obey Him? Will you follow Him into that water? He left his old life, began a new life, and that would lead to his suffering and death, as was foretold. It doesn't mean everything's going to be peaches and roses for you forever. But what it means is that you're being obedient to the Father. Baptism is the enlistment. And it's the enrollment process whereby those who believe upon Him formally enter the school of Christ. He's the teacher. And this is our formal bringing in. Let the Holy Spirit fall upon you. He makes it clear that our obedience reveals our faith in Him. He said, baptize those who believe. This is fitting. It's our first step of obeying Him and following everything He taught. And it leads us out of temptation and into His light. You know, in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10, it's written, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, In other words, the ruling scepter. Judah will be the king. Nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. Shiloh is a word that's used to describe the Messiah. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. That's in the King James Version. In some of the more modern English versions, it says that the people's obedience will be with him. In fact, all of the newer ones say that. Our obedience reveals our faith in him. Shiloh is the Messiah. All will obey him. Sooner or later, every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. That's what it's written. The time's coming when everyone will obey him. And we're witnesses to these things. It's written in Acts chapter 5. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. The Holy Spirit is given to those who obey him, but not to those who don't. If you see people who are not obedient, God's not going to bless them with his Spirit. Light cannot coexist with darkness. I'm going to wrap it up. And I want to tell you to say yes. Yes to go. Yes, to go and what? To preach the gospel, to teach the good news, to help others find their way to God. Tell others he gave himself for us, as it's written in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Go and teach others to be like Christ. Teach them to follow his teachings. But what else? Baptize. Baptize others in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And if you haven't been baptized, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to take that step of obedience. Maybe it's that time to really seal the deal in your own heart to realize that you are, in fact, his follower, that you are his disciple. Because you're doing what he said to do. You're obeying him. Hear what he said. Go and teach others. Step into the water. Hear his voice and follow him. He stepped into the water. Maybe it's time for you. He said that his people hear his voice and they follow him. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, it's written that our Lord was perfected and became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He's the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Say yes to God's Messiah. No holds. No resistance. Just say yes. Hear what he has to say. And then do it. That's all he wants. Obedience. Obey him. Trust and obey. And you must be born again. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would help us to follow where Christ led for us to follow. Help us, Lord, to know that we are, in fact, your people, each and every one, Lord. And if there's any here that have yet to come to know that, Lord, we ask that you would give them the revelation of your truth. And we pray this all in Christ's name. And all of God's people said, amen. Now we're going to sing number 398, follow on, number 398. And I'll play that from the recording, number 398. And if you can stand, please stand as we sing.